Please keep your Bibles open to Nahum chapter 1. The March 11th earthquake in Japan and the tsunami that followed not only shook Japan but also the whole world. And we keep hearing of news in the newspapers of the events that have unfolded. What a catastrophe, what a tragedy. And the world will not soon forget also the earthquake and the tsunami of 2004, Boxing Day 2004, when over 200,000 lives were taken, and there's even greater destruction of land and property. Now, this earthquake in Japan, 9 in magnitude, is said to be the most powerful in the history of Japan. And it came, and then after that came a most devastating tsunami. I think we saw it in the news, on television, the power of water, the waves that swept across the land, and the ships, and the cars, and the houses were just destroyed. And the ships and the cars were just moved along as if they were toys. What great destruction. And now over 22,000 lives have been lost, been taken, and the number is still rising. And what is worse is the explosion of the nuclear plant. And now radioactive poison is filling the air and the ground. What a terrible thing. And all this, of course, is very sad and is very terrifying. But what does the Bible teach us about such events and such happenings? Do we as Christians have a clue to what is going on in this world? What should we do when such tragedies strike? What should we be thinking? Does the Bible have the answer? Does God have an answer for us? Indeed, God has an answer. God is all-knowing. He is all-wise. And has given to us knowledge and wisdom in His book, the Holy Scriptures that He had inspired and is preserving. And we have answers here, dear friends. God tells us why all these things happen. And we better pay attention to what God has to tell us today. God is speaking through all these events and occurrences. They are no accidents. They don't happen by chance. They happen for a reason. God is speaking, and God is speaking loudly. And He wants the world to know that He is very angry. Please don't think that God is a God who is smiling all the time. There are people who paint God wrongly, giving a distorted picture. They say God is only love and He is only smiling all the time. Know that God also frowns. We have a God who is also angry. He's a God who is holy and God who is filled with justice. Yes, He's a God of love. He's a God who saves. But He is also a God who is holy, and God who is also a judge. And many a time we forget this. That God is a judge. God can get angry. Oh, these things are very negative and easily offend people. We don't want to talk about such things. We just want to talk about the nice things about God. But that is giving a false view and a false picture of God. We preach the love of Christ, yes. But we also preach that Christ will come and judge this world. And all the events that are happening in this world, all these catastrophes, please know there's only a foreview, a preview of the judgment that is to come during the time of the Great Tribulation. And we better wake up. And the world better wake up as well. God is furious. God is angry. This earth was created by Him, and He is still in charge, and the events that happen in this world don't happen by accident. It's all determined by Him. Yes, indeed, these catastrophic events are often described in law as acts of God. Right? Acts of God. Are they acts of God? There's meaning to this legal term. Indeed, they are acts of God. They are acts of God. And we know this from Nahum chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. You look at this. The mountains quake at Him. All due to Him. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence. Please don't think that God is oblivious or doesn't know what is going on. He is involved. He is in charge. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. You say, who did all these things? God says, I'm the one. The rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. But with an overrunning flood, He will make an utter end of the face thereof. The overrunning flood. Think of the tsunami. Is it not an overrunning flood? But with an overrunning flood, He will make an utter end of the place thereof. Look at the devastation. And the darkness shall pursue His enemies. There are two things over here. The mountains quake at Him. The mountains quake. Now we know the power of nature, don't we? And we as human beings know how to harness the power of nature, the wind, the waves, the heat, right, to get electricity. And when we look at the power of nature, then it should cause us to think of the power that is above nature, supernatural power, power of God Himself, the power of the Creator who made heaven and earth, who made all these things. And we are often in awe of the power of nature, the thunder and the lightning that can frighten us. We are often at awe with the power of nature, but we should be more at awe with the awesome power of God, the omnipotent God who can empower as well as overpower all the forces of nature, the tornadoes and the typhoons. And Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 says, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rides on them. He empowers as well as overpowers them. He is involved. He's in charge. He's over all these things. So we must, when we look at all these things of nature, don't just say, wow, wow, at all these natural phenomena, which can be very spectacular. It should cause us to see beyond that. Who made all these things? And be wowed by the awesome and awful power of God. And know that there's a Creator. And how we must fall down to worship Him. We fear sometimes all these natural phenomena that are very destructive. The thunder and the lightning, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the typhoons, all these things that come. We are afraid. But we should be more afraid of this God who can destroy both soul and body in a lake of fire one day, which will last forever. Are you afraid of this God? How we must be fearful. The thing is that this world today is not fearful of such a God. They don't even think He exists. And in their lives, they just go on in their merry way. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. And that's the end. That's not the end. There is judgment to come. And God is speaking very loudly to tell us that we are all accountable to Him. And there is this judgment to come, the judgment on the great white throne. Better be ready now before it's too late. When death strikes, or when Jesus comes back, it will be too late. And when God sends all these natural catastrophes is to wake us up. Better get right with God right now, because when the end comes, no more chance, no more second chance. The chance you have is right now whilst you're still alive. And you have a chance to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God. And God is speaking. Are you listening? And God is speaking loudly today, not only through the scriptures, but through all these natural events. And when the earth rumbles and crumbles with earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, know that God is speaking. These are like his loudspeakers, right? His microphones. And he's now shouting to this world who refuses to hear. As if they are hard of hearing and deaf, God has to shout very loudly so that they will listen clearly. And he is telling the world how he feels. He's showing his great displeasure. For here we are told in Nahum chapter 1 that God is jealous. God is a jealous God. It's godly jealousy that he has. And what is this godly jealousy? God is jealous because, you know, there is only one living and true God, and he is a spirit. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Only one living and true God who created heaven and earth, who made us. And only he deserves and is worthy of our worship. And when we go about worshiping other gods, gods made with our own hands, or we go about worshiping ourselves, I don't believe in God, I believe only in myself. I'm intelligent, I'm talented, I'm skillful, I'm powerful, full of health and strength, I can survive on my own. I don't need God. I can be rich and prosper in my own way, using my own strength. Who needs God? I only believe in myself. We worship ourselves. And when we think or do like this and forget God and worship anyone else or anything else other than him, the living and true God of the Holy Scriptures, God gets very jealous. He is the only one who deserves all the worship. And when mankind worship other gods instead of the living and true God, he robs God of the glory that he alone deserves. And when we break God's commandments, and when we rebel against God, and we say, good is bad, and bad is good, true is false, false is true. And today we see the whole world being upside down, isn't it? Whole lot of immorality, unnatural acts, unnatural sexual acts are now deemed to be very good and natural, acceptable. It's not the world turning upside down, totally hating and rebelling against the truth of God. And those who warn against such things, the sins of the world, are called extremists, unloving, unkind. No, when we speak truth according to God's word and expose error, we are actually being very loving and very kind. Because the immoral ways of the world, which are now deemed good by the majority, is actually very destructive to those who commit those sins. We're saying, don't. These things are dangerous. Why do you want to break God's commandments? God's commandments are meant for life. Why do you seek death by breaking the commandments? To steal, to cheat, to kill. to commit adultery, to covet other people's things, and then to despise the God who made you, worshipping other gods, taking the name of God in vain, breaking the Sabbath law. Why do you undo all these things that will harm you? And when we tell you, please don't do this, it's not good, you are very bad. Oh, this world is such an upside down world today. And don't you think this world is ripe for judgment? I believe the Lord is coming back very soon. From all the signs that He's giving to us, the happenings, the things that are going on and happening in this world. Did not Jesus warn us that before He comes, look for such signs? Earthquakes, earthquakes in diverse places. And we're seeing more and more of this happening today. Man is full of hatred for God and full of rebellion against Him, and God is now speaking. What will He do to man? What will He do to man? In verse 2, it is stated very clearly, the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Only He has the right to take vengeance, not we. Injustices done towards us, we bear it, right, quietly and humbly, and the Lord Himself will vindicate or will take vengeance. We are not to take vengeance. The Lord will take vengeance. This right belongs to Him solely. And here Nahum says, the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges. And is furious, the Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. Take note, three times in this one verse, it is told to us, God taketh vengeance. Three times the Lord has said this. Why? The Lord wants us to be very clear. The Lord is not playing the fool. He wants us to pay attention. He is a vengeful God. He is full of fury. And if He says, and this is not an idle threat, when He says, I will take vengeance, it means I will. Three times He said this. He will take vengeance against those who have sinned against the thrice holy triune God. And He will surely do it. And men refuse to listen. In fact, they speak against such a God. Just in yesterday's paper I read, someone wrote an article, very proud article. He says, it's an abomination to say that God is vengeful, that God takes revenge, and such tragedies are acts of vengeance of God. It's an abomination to think like this. Really? Are you God? You know His mind? You want to know the mind and the heart of God? You go to God's word itself. This is what God says. His personal testimony about Himself. And He says, I am a God of vengeance. I can get very angry. And of course, I get angry for, you know, I don't get angry for no reason. And He's angry with this world. Men can be so proud to say how God, to tell God how He must feel or how He must act. Such events should humble us and cause us to examine ourselves. Instead, there are those who want to examine God and say, you cannot be like this. And if there's a God who does all these things, then He cannot be God. This pride that we have, which is of the devil fell because of pride, still exists today and pervades all levels of society. This proud world, how we must be humbled. It should humble us. But if we keep on hardening our hearts and keep rebelling against the Lord, do we think we can fight against God? Lest anyone think that God is quick to judge and punish, the prophet is very clear that God is slow to anger. Right? Verse 3, we are told, the Lord is slow to anger, and He is quick to forgive if we repent. And the Lord does not take a delight in the destruction of the wicked. Hear the words of another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 18 of his book, verse 23 and chapter 33, verse 11. Ezekiel said, speaking of God, have I any pleasure, God says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God desires us to be saved. But there's we who have kept Him out of our lives, and we turn Him away. We don't want Him. We want to live in our own sinful way. And when He judges us because of that, don't blame God. We have to blame ourselves. For He is slow to anger. He's very patient with us. As the Apostle Peter tells us, He is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is waiting and waiting and waiting for so long. The gospel is preached and preached and preached, and you have been warned again and again, and you take no action to make peace with God. And when God judges, don't blame God. We'll blame ourselves. We have no excuse. And Nahum at this juncture was preaching to Nineveh. And the Ninevites knew this God, the God of Israel, very well. They knew Him. They knew that this God was a merciful God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel was a merciful and forgiving God. For 100 years earlier, right, from the time of Nahum, there was another prophet, the prophet Jonah. You know the prophet Jonah? We know the story of Jonah very well, don't we? How the Lord told him, you go to Nineveh and preach to this people. And what did Jonah do? I don't want. And he wanted to run away. Right? Took a boat, a ship, and sailed to the opposite direction. Well, you cannot run away from God. And God had to use a whale, a big fish, to transport Jonah all the way to Nineveh. And then Jonah preached. He preached judgment. God is going to judge this city if you don't repent. And what happened? Nineveh repented. And when Nineveh repented immediately, what did God do? The Lord forgave. All right, I'm not going to judge you. I forgive you. And that made Jonah very angry, upset. Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh to preach? Because Jonah knew the God of Israel. How He's such a loving, merciful, compassionate God and quick to forgive. So in Jonah chapter 4 verse 3 we read, you know, when the Ninevites repented and God forgave them, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So Jonah knew God was very forgiving. But Jonah didn't want God to forgive Nineveh. He wanted God to judge Nineveh. And he knew that if he preached, God would forgive, right? If they repented from his preaching, through his preaching. So he didn't want that. So he fled. But God, right, had other plans. And God showed how merciful he was. And Jonah knew that. So God forgave the Ninevites. They experienced national forgiveness when they repented. And now 100 years later, in the time of Nahum, by this time, sad to say, a generation later, the Ninevites now forgot this God of Israel that forgave them, that showed mercy to them. And through these years, they became more and more powerful, the Ninevites, so much so that they succeeded in conquering Egypt, and then later Ephraim in 721 BC, and they have become a superpower. And then when they became a superpower in the known world, in the known world at the time, instead of you know, worshipping the Lord and giving Him all the glory, they began to be proud and boastful, and boasted of themselves. And they also became very cruel. They treated their captives very cruelly. And then they became very proud. No one can defeat Nineveh. And then our city walls, they prided in their city walls. They are so invincible, impregnable, because the city walls of Nineveh, discovered by archaeologists, were 100 feet high. And then the walls were surrounded by a moat, 150 feet across, 60 feet deep. Wow. Which army can conquer the city? They were very proud. They thought they were invincible. And they forgot this God who showed mercy and forgave them. And they became very idolatrous. And so what did the Lord say? You think you are very powerful? You are no match for me. Your city walls are nothing. They will fall like Lego bricks. Look at verse 4. Nahum 1 verse 4. The Lord said, He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and dried up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. He can do all these things. Not, you know, all these things by one word of God, by the breath of His mouth, He can cause the sea and the rivers to dry up. God only needs to send one earthquake, and the city walls of Nineveh will crumble. It will fall. One volcanic eruption, one flood can destroy everything. They will all be gone in the flesh, God reminded the Ninevites over here. Who can stand before His indignation? Verse 6. Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. Okay? And God is showing His fury today more and more. You know, we are only 3 months into the year 2011. 3 months. How many significant earthquakes had already happened, occurred in these 3 months? Now, according to the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, it is reported and recorded there are already, right, the latest, 21 significant earthquakes. 21 significant earthquakes in this world today. And it's reported that, you know, in a year, such big earthquakes average is 17 to 18. In 1 year, now in just 3 months, we have already 21. Already 21. How about the next 9 months? Is not God speaking to us today? Earthquakes in diverse places with increasing frequency. And the latest, of course, you know, was in Chiang Rai, right? Oh, Mrs. Toh just came back from there, right? Thank God she's not there now. Near the Burmese border. Will there be more to come? God says, I am angry and furious with this increasingly idolatrous, immoral, wicked, evil, and sinful world, which is always breaking my commandments and rejecting my gospel. And it's also significant to note that earthquakes today are found more and more in highly populated, densely populated areas, or occur near the cities, not in the desert or in the wilderness, in isolated places. In the past, maybe earthquakes, many of them, but in isolated places. But now, they are found increasingly in population centers, in the cities or near the cities, with all these widespread destruction. You think it's by chance? Or is God speaking? Is there salvation or not from this? The answer is yes. We must repent. The answer is we must repent. Repent of our sins. Believe in Jesus Christ if we are to be saved from the destruction to come. This is just a foretaste of greater destruction, of the greatest destruction, unprecedented destruction, when God will pour down His wrath on this earth in the end times, in the last days. And the Lord here gives a word of comfort to Nahum. The Lord is good. He is a good God. He wants to save. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. If those who are in the midst of, who are suffering and are in the midst of such catastrophes, if they will now turn to the Lord, humble themselves, repent of their ways, to acknowledge, yes, there is a God. And this God is Jesus Christ, and He's the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help me, save me, I believe. Oh, there is salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So the mountains quake, and when the mountains quake, it demonstrates that God is angry, He is furious, He is judging. And not only that, you have an overrunning flood, right? An overrunning flood. Verse 8, and with an overrunning flood He maketh an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue His enemies. Now we know that the whole world was destroyed by flood at one point in time, in the days of Noah. And God had promised, I will no longer destroy the world by a global flood. But that doesn't mean that there will be no more floods, small ones, local, regional floods. God will not destroy the whole world by flood again. Next time He destroys the world, it will be by fire. But nonetheless, all right, He didn't say there will be no more local floods, no more global flood. He didn't say no more local floods. He will still send all these local or regional floods. And of course, we know in Australia recently, in Brisbane, there was a whole lot of flooding and other parts of the world. And God is speaking also through all these natural calamities. And then you have these tsunamis, waves caused by a displacement of the earth under the sea, and so much so that there's an uplifting of the earth's crust, and consequently a shifting of the a displacement of the ocean level that causes water, right, to rush to land, and the speed of the water that will hit the land is said to be between 500 to 1,000 kilometers an hour. That is the speed of a jet plane. You can just imagine how forceful, powerful these waves, these tsunamis can be. And when it reaches land or shore, they can be as high as 30 meters. It's said that the waves that hit Japan, 30 meters high. And that's, how high is 30 meters? About six stories of an HDB block. Six stories. That's why you find ships, all right, landing on top of the roofs of two, three-story buildings. All right? You saw that in the papers. Besides earthquakes, God can judge His enemies through wind and waves. With an overrunning flood, He shall make an utter end of the place thereof. Whole cities can be wiped off the map of this world just by one tsunami. And of course, not just tsunami, it can be formed in the form of typhoons and hurricanes and volcanic eruptions, with all the mudflows and the overflowing of riverbanks. All these can bring great destruction. Verses 5 and 6, in fact, tell us of volcanic eruptions and lahars, right? Look at verses 5 and 6. The mountains quake at Him and the hills melt. Volcanic mountains. The earth is burned at His presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him, these fiery rocks from volcanic eruptions, surely it must refer to that over here. We are not so blind to see this, right? God already warned of all these things. I remember going to see the special exhibit on Pompeii, the National Museum. Earlier in the year, they had a special exhibition of the ancient city of Pompeii and its destruction by Mount Vesuvius. Some of you went to see. Within 24 hours, in less than 24 hours, the whole city was buried and burned. Vesuvius erupted after 700 years, right, sleeping. And in fact, the people in Pompeii didn't know that this mountain, this beautiful mountain, was a volcano so long. It has been quiet. And suddenly it exploded. They were ignorant of the fact that this was a volcano. Yes, God has been keeping quiet. God is waiting patiently for all these years, hundreds of years. Did the people repent when the gospel was preached? No, Pompeii was a very idolatrous and very immoral city. Pompeii was famous for its seaport, very good harbor. A lot of trade came in, and that made the city very rich and very wealthy. But with all the wealth, they began to spend it all in sensual, sexual, immoral pleasures, full of it in the land. Land of wine, women, and gladiators, right? Entertained themselves with such cruel sports. And then they worship all kinds. They have a pantheon of Roman and Greek gods and goddesses. And in the homes, you have this altar, big altar, with all the gods lined up. They worship all these gods. And then God began to speak. Vesuvius blew up. And the whole city was destroyed in AD 79. And it took only less than a day, less than 24 hours. And the whole city disappeared. It's a terrifying thing, dear friends, to fall in the hands of the living God. And Nineveh itself was not spared this time. They didn't repent. They continued to hate God and rebel against Him. They didn't humble themselves. And finally, God humbled the proud city of Nineveh. In 625 BC, He sent a flood. An overrunning flood will overcome them. 625 it happened, the river Tigris that gave life to Nineveh now became a river of death. The banks overflowed, mighty rush of water, and it destroyed the walls, the city walls of Nineveh. They fell like Lego bricks. No different from how the powerful tsunami in Japan swept away houses and ships as if they were toys. And then later, Nineveh now weakened, right, with the walls destroyed, they were finally razed to the ground by the Babylonians in 612 BC. How about us here in Singapore? Are we spared from God's judgment? I mean, we are here living in safety. We are very rich, right? We live a very comfortable life. And some of us might say, we are not facing all these things because we are better than others. We are better than others. And that's why we don't get it. We don't kena. Right? Are we so presumptuous and conceited to think in this way? The Bible tells us, no, we are all guilty. All are guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people say, how can bad things happen to good people? Why are such bad things happening to good people? That's a wrong assumption. Who says there are good people on earth? The Bible tells us, God says, no one is good. There's none good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Including us here. And if we are spared from such destruction and devastation, it is only because God has shown mercy to us, not because we are better than others, not because we don't deserve to be punished in such a way. We deserve the same punishment, but God is merciful, and the mercy of God should cause us to repent quickly. Are we or not? As Christians, we are not happy and gleeful when such tragedies strike people and nations. We are not happy. We're not gleeful. We shouldn't be celebrating. We should be mourning. And God forbid also that we display a self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude. At this time, we should be spiritually sensitive and be self-examining to check up in our own lives. Am I living a life pleasing to the Lord, or is the Lord also angry with me? Only now I deserve this judgment also, but He's being patient with me. And if He's patient with me, I don't want to take the kindness of God for granted, and likely I better quickly repent. Is that your reaction, your response to things that happen lately, happening in the world? God is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Let us take stock of our lives. I mean, Christians included. I'm not just speaking to unbelievers, but also to believers. If you are an unbeliever, you still do not know the Lord Jesus, you're still plagued by the guilt of your sin, your sins are not being forgiven, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you can be very sure as Japan was hit by this earthquake and tsunami, there is this destruction that is sure to come. The judgment that will send us to the lake of fire. Be very sure that will happen. And if the Lord is now speaking to you, and He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, why won't you repent? Why don't you alter course? Yes, this life that I so love to live in, indulging in all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, I better give up all these things. And look for heavenly treasures instead. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, making peace with God, be part of God's family. Isn't that much better? Which will last forever. And God is offering that to you right now. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on the cross according to the scriptures, He was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we pray that the world will begin to take note that God is speaking. And may we as Christians also send out the light and truth of God's word, preaching the good news of salvation in this bad news world. As light, we have the light to lighten the darkness. The people will turn away from darkness into light. We have the gospel. Let us preach it. Let us share it. Our loved ones who are still outside God's kingdom, to our relatives, our friends, even to strangers, our classmates, our colleagues in office. Are we doing anything to share with the world the good news that is out there in the midst of all this bad news? This is a wonderful opportunity to share the good news. Why won't we do it? We pray for the Christians in Japan. They are a very small group. They will use this opportunity to share the gospel to their fellow people, that they may know. And we have two outstanding FEBC graduates, Japanese, Kimiko and Setsuko. May the Lord use them during this time to bring this word of salvation to a people heading for destruction if they don't repent. And know that the Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. And yes, we are living in sin-cursed world, and the world is groaning right now and in treadle and pain. All the earthquakes, all the eruptions, and all the floods, and all such natural calamities. And we are living in the midst of it. But we don't have to worry. If we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to Him, the Lord knows each one of us individually, and He knows how to protect and preserve us. All right? He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows His own, and He knows how to protect and preserve us. So we don't have to worry. Okay? Let God do the worrying concerning our safety. We must do the worrying about our own spiritual life, that we walk in His ways, and we fulfill the Great Commission. And God knows how to protect His own. We have many testimonies of how the Lord has saved us out of danger. And we are traveling overseas. In fact, the earthquake hit when one of our members were there on holiday. And then they still were kept safe. They continued in their holidays. And then they are now returned safely, happily, safe and sound. The Lord sends His angels to protect. But are you a child of God? Do you belong to the Lord? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Do you know the Lord? Does He know you? And if you don't know Him, please know Him today. Make Him your God and your Savior. Our Father in heaven, please forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Please help us to realize that we are living in the last days, that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. We pray, O Lord, that as children of light, we will not be caught unprepared, but we will always be ready to meet our Lord and our Savior when He comes to resurrect the saints and to catch up the saints. O Lord, we pray, help us in our life here on earth to shine out the gospel light in our words and in our deeds. Pray that, O Lord, more and more will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Be merciful to those who are still outside. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You are a long-suffering God, very patient and full of mercy. Save us quickly, Lord, and those who are still outside Thy kingdom in our midst will enter into Thy kingdom today. So may Thy Holy Spirit convict and convert. And now may the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us until Jesus comes again. Amen.